Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. Hope everybody had a great long weekend and happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day today as well. We're doing a live episode today as we've got the holiday. No market action, obviously, to discuss, but we ended up having quite a busy weekend with quite a lot of Tesla news. So we'll get into quite a few things here. We've got an ad campaign attacking Tesla, as the title mentions. We've got quite a bit of news on FSD, sort of a weird situation with Tesla's law firm selection, updates from NHTSA, Giga Berlin and Texas, and a few other things as well. So a lot to get through, and I'm excited for the episode today. So we're going to start off with that ad campaign. I'm sure many people have seen it by now, but over the weekend, or maybe on Friday, there was a full-page ad in the New York Times, which this cost more than $100,000. I think I've seen estimates of like $250,000 for a full-page ad in the New York Times. And it's criticizing Tesla. So it says, don't be a Tesla crash test dummy. Talks about how full self-driving, if it was fully self-driving every car, millions of people would die every day, which is an interesting characterization to make given the fact that obviously FSD is not meant to be unsupervised and no one has ever really said that it is. They give some statistics here, which we'll walk through in a second, and then basically link to their website. So it is an ad, right? Like, they are advertising here, not just criticizing Tesla, trying to create interest in this project called the Dawn Project. If we go to this website, we can see that this was started by Dan O'Dowd. Dan O'Dowd is the founder of Green Hill Software, which we'll talk about in a second. But they work in various different areas of software, including in automotive, which again, we'll talk more about in a second. But it's kind of interesting here because the ad is mostly criticizing Tesla for, you know, what they are calling unsafe software. And then if you go to the website, basically what they're talking about is the risk of software being hacked. So it's incongruent in terms of what they're advertising and then the message that they talk about here on the website. So they talk about the problem of software just controlling a lot of very important areas of society these days, one of those being automotive. And they say here that millions of cars connect to the internet with software riddled with millions of bugs and security defects has turned these systems into weapons of mass destruction. So again, this isn't even pointing out anything to do with safety in terms of the actual functionality. It changes the argument to then be around, you know, this being hacked or whatever. And they also sort of, Dan O'Dowd kind of advertises himself here as the world's leading expert in creating software that never fails and can't be hacked. So again, clearly an advertisement here trying to pass that idea along from this website. They do later on down the page talk a little bit about Tesla specifically. So, you know, they say their first campaign here is against FSD. They share some of the research. I'm doing air quotes for those of you that are audio listeners here, but they published some of their research here on FSD. So they looked at YouTube videos. Apparently they have not tested the product out themselves. They looked at YouTube videos, 21 total, totaling 7 hours of driving time. And that is their entire data set. So they kind of walk through the videos that they used. I think one of them might be mine. I looked back on this and September 11th, I published a video that was 9 minutes and 58 seconds long. And that was my first FSD beta drive and zero intervention. And it seems like there are zero critical errors in this version. So I think they might've used mine in this research, but going through, one thing that I found interesting here is that they talk about how they analyzed both version 8 software and then version 10 software of the FSD beta. And they actually presented some data here that I think is actually pretty bullish for FSD. They list the average time to likely collision for version 8 as 15 minutes, and the average time to likely collision in version 10 as 36 minutes. So it's getting twice as good in terms of what they say would be an average collision time. So I think they're inadvertently actually pointing out that Tesla's making pretty good progress over that period of time. They say that FSD version 10 would fail a driving test most of the time due to these mistakes, which again, I think we all know the state of FSD beta. I think even saying that it has the opportunity to pass a driving test is also kind of an argument in favor of it. So I thought that was interesting. In terms of that potential collision rate, they say that that improved 58% over that 9-month period between the version 8 videos that they were looking at and the version 10 videos that they were looking at. So they say some, you know, they extrapolate that a little bit and say that that would take anywhere between 7.8 years to 8.8 years if the collision rate improved at 58% every 9 months. So kind of looking at the half-life of accidents, frequency, essentially, that's how long it would take. But this is extremely flawed, and shockingly so. Maybe not, because they're obviously they have an agenda here, but the reason this is flawed is because they're looking at, 7 hours of FSD beta videos. All of my videos, at least, are me driving around downtown Milwaukee, in the most difficult scenarios I can find. They say that they tried to, in their video selection process, they tried to eliminate any videos that had extreme negative or extreme positive titles. But still, this is people testing this software out in city type environments, and that is not going to account for the most miles or the most amount of time that people are driving. I mean, it varies from everyone, but there's probably very little, if any, highway data in here. Like, no one's watching the FSD beta videos on the highway. No one's demonstrating that because it's not any different. So if they're saying that, if they're looking at the average accident rate of the human driver, that includes a lot of highway driving, which probably has less frequent accidents, which we're actually gonna, that's gonna come up here again in a second. But I think if they're saying, at this rate, 58% improvement every 9 months, 7, 8 years, that's actually going to be much shorter, I think, if you included highway miles. So again, I think that's actually pretty bullish in terms of their assessment on the progress here. So I thought that was kind of humorous. Anyway, I noted the bias here. So Green Hill Software, if we go to the About Us page on their site and we look at their automotive customers, you got Toyota in here a couple times. You've got Ford in here a couple times. Sub brands of those companies, and then Mobileye. That's not biased at all. Like, one of your main customers is a customer that's creating a direct competitor to this ad that you took out a full page of attacking in the New York Times. A little bit questionable. And specifically, they're working on Mobileye's IQ product, which is the product base that's competing with Autopilot. So if they're arguing against that for Tesla, it's just a complete double standard because Mobileye has driver assist technology deployed as well. So I don't know. I don't think it's even worth spending much more time on it than that. I'm sure we could do much more research and, draw other connections here too. But clearly, this is pretty biased. Clearly, it's working and getting a lot of attention because, Elon responded to it. All the Tesla media outlets are covering it. All the mainstream media outlets are covering it too. So I guess well played by this person, but not much that we need to really think about, in my opinion. It's not anything new that here that we haven't talked about. It is also worth noting, this is kind of convenient timing. So Ross Gerber tweeted out, just pointing out that there hasn't really been one accident or injury that's been reported. We'll talk more about that in a second too, but since the FSD beta launch, not a single one. And Elon did reply to that saying, correct. You may remember that back in November we did talk about a report to NHTSA of a complaint about a crash during FSD beta, with FSD beta engaged. But you can, like, I could go on there right now and we could write up a fake complaint if we wanted to while I'm doing this live stream, and it would get submitted and it would get posted here. So we don't really have any way of validating that. So it's kind of, Tesla's word against this complaint, I suppose. The other consideration is that, Tesla might not consider it an accident if an airbag doesn't deploy. So there could just be different interpretations of that. But regardless, this is still very positive in terms of the progress or the, safety ability of FSD. Like, clearly this is not causing people to just crash all the time. If there were, we would have seen, crashes by now just based on the amount of miles accumulated. So on that note, this is again pretty good timing with all this, Green Hill Software stuff, because Tesla did just release their most recent data for autopilot safety. We've talked about this a few times in the past. There are valid criticisms of how Tesla reports this stuff, but just to kind of level set what Tesla's reporting here, they do disclose their methodology down here on the bottom, and something that's important. So basically, let me back up a step. Basically, what Tesla's reporting is the frequency of crashing with autopilot engaged. So, for example, this fourth quarter, which is the number they just released, They say that they recorded one crash for every 4.31 million miles driven when drivers were using autopilot technology, auto steer, and active safety features. For those not using those features, they recorded one crash for every 1.6 million miles driven. By comparison, US average is one crash every, 500,000 miles. So they're showing less frequency in terms of crashes as those numbers get bigger. And how the methodology that they use is that anytime there is a crash, and they define a crash as any active restraint system, such as an airbag being deployed, they say that for it to be classified under autopilot, it has to happen within 5 seconds of deactivation of autopilot. So it's not like if autopilot puts you in a bad situation, you hit the brake or you disable, Tesla immediately stops counting it. That's not how it's done. They give a 5 second buffer there to ensure that the data is, capturing autopilot safety correctly. So with that being understood, let's look a little bit at this data, because even though, kind of what we were talking about with the Green Hill Software report focusing in on only videos of people driving around, most likely in cities, autopilot is going to be a little bit of the opposite, where it's probably people putting up a lot of miles on the highway, certainly until FSD beta gets further expanded. So it's valid to say, okay, that's not directly comparable, which I think is true. And I've, made that point many times in the past. Tesla has also stopped reporting one of the most valuable pieces of this, which is frustrating to me, because they used to, back to Q1 this year, looks like they changed it in Q2. They used to report autopilot being engaged, autopilot not being active, but active safety features being on, and then the number without any of those things being on. So what I actually liked comparing was autopilot off, active safety features on, combined with the autopilot active. Neither of those numbers falling below autopilot off and active safety off showed that autopilot was not having a negative impact on vehicle safety, which is often what's argued. That's basically what Green Hill Software is arguing, that people are going to get more crashes because of using FSD. So you could put those two together and you could say, clearly, that's not the case. I hope that makes sense. I know it's a lot of terms to kind of like jump around from, but Tesla, as of Q2, started removing that, and now they're just reporting the autopilot without that sort of middle statistic, which was autopilot off after active safety features on. But again, you could group those and see that it was better. Now we can't do that anymore. Not sure why Tesla did that, and hopefully they'll bring it back. But here, hopefully this is a little bit more understandable, because here is the data that Tesla's reported. They started doing this in 2018 Q3. So here's all the data we've got. The blue line there, that's autopilot on. This orange line, that's what I was just talking about that I liked, that's been removed. That was autopilot off, but active safety features being on. So basically the sum of these two lines would get you the total accident frequency. We can't know where the average is because we don't know the distribution of miles between those two lines. But basically those would be one group, and then the other group would be this red line, which is autopilot off, active safety features also off. And clearly, though that is better than the US average, it is very much below these two groups in combination, regardless of how the distribution falls. So I'm sad that Tesla took that out. But in general, you can see, I just put a regression on here, linear regression. You can see that the slope is generally up, but the correlation is low. So 0.5, not the best, not the worst, but yeah, not the best. To be redundant with my own point, but it's not necessarily a good way to look at it. It's much better to look because of the seasonality component here. Obviously, more accidents are probably going to happen in the winter with worse weather. If we look at this divided up by quarter, it shows a very clear picture of progress. So here is Q4, just isolating autopilot on, and this is Q4 over the last 4 years. So 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021. Here we can see that Tesla is steadily improving. So moving up this slope is a positive thing, because it means you're getting an accidents over, the frequency of accidents is happening over many more miles. So now Tesla's up for this Q4 at almost 4.5 million miles per accident this quarter versus, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, they were at, Sorry, just confusing myself here. They were at, 2.9 million miles per accident. So, and that's been a pretty steady improvement in each fourth quarter year over year. You can see that the correlation here is almost 0.9, so much more highly correlated than what we see if we just map every quarter individually. That also holds true for Q3. If we isolate on Q3, similar correlation there, similar uptrend. So it's really great to see that consistent, highly correlated progress as Tesla moves on in time. And what's really interesting here is that I'm guessing, we don't have the data, but I'm guessing that Autopilot is also being used for more miles and in more scenarios each of these quarters, and by more people, obviously, too, as Tesla delivers more and more cars. So not only is the functionality expanding, which kind of takes away a part of that argument of, oh, Autopilot's only used in the safest situations or whatever, so of course it's going to be higher. As more and more features come out, FSD beta, etc., that argument is diminished, and we still are seeing progress. Obviously, I think most of this is just normal Autopilot miles, and we'll see when FSD beta starts to be wider released. But even with Autopilot, the point is that I think more and more miles are getting added up, or the percent of miles driven are probably increasing functionality, increasing safety at the same time. So it's great to see that in Tesla's data. The other thing I want to note here, this is just Q2 and Q1. There is an upslope on that linear regression, but you can see that the correlation is much lower. However, we only have three quarters of data there versus the four. So obviously not quite of a as robust of a data set on Q1 and Q2. But obviously we'll keep tracking this as we go. All right, so the next thing on FSD. So we didn't see FSD 10.9 this weekend. Elon tweeting this morning that it's going out later this week. It looks like later this week is now. Because just prior to this, I got a software update on my car, and I think it's installing right now. So I'm assuming this is 10.9. I think some people have already started getting some videos out on that. So it looks like that's happening now. Someone did post the release notes. I think this probably shared from an employee vehicle earlier, but sounds like some pretty cool improvements here. A couple that stuck out to me. So Tesla talks about using for static object network 10-bit photon count rather than processed images. They're 8-bit processed images. So Elon talked about this on the Lex Fridman interview, maybe even before that, switching over to raw photons versus those processed images. And it looks like in certain parts of the stack, Tesla's starting to do that, which is exciting. And hopefully they can do that with sort of incrementality, piece by piece. So it's a little bit less of a regression. Elon mentioned that it would be to do that, or at least retraining would be required. So if Tesla can kind of do that piece by piece, I think that will help with that being a little bit less noticeable. So that's exciting. One of the behavior changes here is that Tesla will start allowing the vehicle to proceed straight into intersections for unprotected left turns while yielding. This is something, I don't know if people remember this, but something I commented on in a video a while back. Normally, when I'm driving, I'll kind of just force it into the middle of the intersection. Generally, that's the behavior I think the cars behind me expect, so that's what I end up doing. And I think it makes the turn a little bit easier. So I'm glad to see that. And then yeah, just as with each update, piece by piece, a little bit more gets added, and I think that's what gets us into situations like this where, quarter after quarter, we see these small improvements. And hopefully, when Dojo comes online, when FSD is wide released, hopefully we see this start to even slope up, being a little bit less linear and more into an exponential. That's the hope. Okay, let's see. The other thing on FSD is that Elon did say that they're going to start rolling out FSD beta in Canada cautiously in the next 2 to 4 weeks. So I don't know if they're doing any safety score stuff in Canada. I can't even remember if they've opened up that FSD beta request button yet there. But I would imagine that that's probably what that would mean, and probably going just to 100 safety scores initially there in Canada. But we'll see what they do for that. Okay, so next up here, this is just kind of a weird story that got a lot of coverage over this weekend. Wall Street Journal published an article talking about how Tesla had asked the law firm that they work with to fire one of their associates that they had hired from the SEC. That associate had worked with Sorry, I think my heat is coming on. I might have to jump up and turn that off. It's kind of loud. But the report here is that, yep, I'm going to turn that off. It's really loud. One second. Sorry, guys. It's going to come on for a second. It'll turn off. This is the risk we take when we do lives. Hopefully, you guys can still hear me. I'll talk a little bit louder. But basically, what's going on is that one of the law firms that Tesla works with, Cooley LLP, Tesla has requested that they fire one of their lawyers. Otherwise, Tesla will cease to do business with them. The lawyer in question is a lawyer that had worked with the SEC on Elon Musk's case and had interviewed Elon during that whole going private SEC investigation. So Elon pushing back a little bit on that, asking this law firm to fire them. And if not, SpaceX, Tesla presumably will pull their business from this company. And it sounds like this Cooley LLP firm is not going to do that. So just like Tesla has the choice to make that request and not do business with people that they don't want to do business with, Cooley can not fire that person or could choose to fire them either way. Unfortunate for that individual. And I think it's difficult for us to say whether it's justified or not because we don't know what kind of interaction that, Elon Tesla had with that person. It sounds like they at the law firm aren't actually working on any of Tesla's cases, but, still it's within Tesla's prerogative to make that decision if they want. Again, we don't have enough information to know if this is just pettiness from Elon and Tesla or if this it would be more justified based on how that interaction went. So I don't have any really strong opinions on that, but unless there's some, prejudice involved or something like that, I don't see this being a story that sticks for much longer than a weekend. But in this article, there was a couple other interesting things. So remember a while back we talked about Missy Cummings being added to the, being added to the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration, or NHTSA, and we talked about the petition created by Holmars. I think there were 10,000, maybe more signatures on that, asking her or asking NHTSA to basically consider all of the social media posts that she had, the conflict of interest being on the board for a LiDAR company. A lot of bias there that suggested perhaps not the fairest person to be making policy decisions for Tesla. And it sounds like NHTSA now, after all of this pushback, has told Dr. Cummings that they'll recuse her. She has to recuse herself from any Tesla matters at NHTSA. This was confirmed by the U.S. Department of Transportation, although they didn't say specifically it was because of the pushback. But honestly, it's a demonstration of activism working. So, around the time that that was happening, the Tesla community gets a lot of criticism, but clearly there were valid complaints in that. It's not just people freaking out because someone doesn't like Tesla. It's, trying to get people that have clear bias to not be in positions of power to make those decisions. So pat yourself on the back for that. And I'm happy to see that this decision was made. And, I think probably the opportunity for her was probably appealing because of her potential to influence, the role that Tesla plays, and it seems like that's no longer the case. So kind of interesting turn of events there. The other thing with NHTSA, so we talked a lot about the heat pump stuff last week. Elon did give an update on that. He said that fixing this is a high priority. We may have talked about that on the last episode. And Tesla has pushed a firmware update to, we talked about this last week. Hopefully, stop some of the things that are causing the vehicles to not function, to be able to still function. Doesn't necessarily mean it's an entire fix for the problem, but potentially some short-term relief or maybe a fix overall. So Tesla's working on that. NHTSA has said that they are aware of the issue, and continuing to gather information, discuss the issue with Tesla, and evaluate potential safety concerns. So that's where that's at right now. Doesn't mean there's a recall or anything like that, really just the information gathering stage. Maybe we'll end up seeing a recall, maybe we won't, but this will continue to be a story until we have a little bit more resolution on it, though I think that firmware update is, a partial resolution. We'll just see if that is effective. The other thing I just wanted to mention while we're on this topic is recalls are common, right? I don't think we give this enough emphasis. This happens a lot, and obviously they differ in terms of the severity and how critical they are, but I just happened to be on the NHTSA page and I, you know, had the thought of looking up how many recalls were issued in 2021. And it looks like there were 1,100. So, you know, you have about three recalls every single day. And think about how many of those you heard about and how many of those that you heard about were from Tesla. And I'm sure it's a handful, right? Like you could probably count it on both hands, the number of recalls you're aware of, and probably 80% of those would be Tesla. However, there were 1,100 last year. And we just don't hear about them because they're not Tesla related. They don't get the media attention. They don't get the clicks. So just wanted to highlight that. I think it serves as a good reminder for the fact that making cars is hard. Cars are going to have issues. Over time, those issues are going to need to be fixed. It's pretty common stuff. All right, next, let's move on to Gigafactory. So we got an update here from Jeff Roberts. Does the drone flyovers spotted some what appear to be new model wise there at Texas. So a lot of nice blue ones here. I guess we don't really have any way of knowing for sure if these are new, but I guess maybe he does if he saw them drive out of the factory. But nice to see some finished vehicles there like we've been seeing with Berlin. I think we're getting really close on both of these. And again, I expect an update on where that progress is at on the earnings call next week. The other thing for Texas is that Tesla did send the VIN decoder changes for the 2022 model year to NHTSA. So this is on NHTSA's website. Thanks to a listener that passed this along to me. They've disclosed the updates to that VIN decoder, and digit 11 will now be A for Austin. So we now have confirmation of how to determine if your VIN is from Giga Texas. That 11th digit will be an A. So now we can all be on the lookout for for any vehicles like that. If you're in a store and you know, they say that they've got one from Austin, just look, pop over and check that VIN really quick. As for Berlin, so we had heard last week, we had talked about a tweet from Sawyer Merritt saying that Elon was supposed to be in Texas this week. That tweet is deleted, so didn't happen. Drive Tesla Canada here was then reporting that Elon was hopefully going later this week. Elon replied to that on Twitter saying that he's not. He said he is headed there in mid-February, but not this week. So, you know, I think some people maybe tied that to potential opening, which would have made sense. Not happening yet. Mid-February. But again, hopefully we'll hear a little bit more on that on the earnings call. All right, last few things here. I think I missed one thing, actually, on that. Let's see. Yeah, we'll just keep going. Wasn't that big. Okay, so last few things here. This article is kind of old, but I saw some discussion on this on Tesla Motors Club forum. And this is a major automobile publication in Brazil. And apparently BYD has themselves confirmed that they do have a supply contract with Tesla. So we've talked about rumors of that a couple of times. They haven't been confirmed. In some cases, they were even denied, I think. But BYD itself apparently now has said in the introduction of some new vehicles in Brazil, talking about their BYD Blade battery, they've now confirmed that Tesla is going to be a customer for that. So as far as I know, that is, you know, final confirmation that Tesla's going to be using that battery, which we haven't talked a ton about, but I would recommend popping over to the Limiting Factors channel. He just did a great video on the BYD Blade battery, I think, you know, a week or two ago. So if you're interested more to learn more about that, it sounds like it's, you know, a really good product and should be good for Tesla to source that supply. If you're interested in that, pop over to that channel. The other supply chain news we have is that Tesla apparently has signed a graphite contract with a Mozambique mine. So the company is out of Australia, but they have a mine in Mozambique. And it looks like Tesla is going to be starting a contract with them in 2025 for either 80% of 8,000 tons per year or 8,000 tons per year. not clear on the wording here. And unfortunately, I'm not exactly sure how many vehicles that would supply in terms of the amount of graphite in a Tesla vehicle, but just wanted to pass that along, and hopefully overnight I'll get some time to do a little bit more research and figure out what that supply contract would mean in terms of vehicles. Next year, we did talk last week about some of the changes in the design studio over in Europe, and one of those changes was that the Model 3 had reduced range, about 2%. Looks like we're now seeing confirmation of why that is. Tesla has told customers in Australia that their Model 3 vehicles are going to receive a little bit less range than before, now 602 kilometers on the WLTP standard, which was down from 624, which some of these customers saw when they ordered. So they say that this is due to a hardware change resulting in a minor drop in range. So, and they talk about that being to optimize the touchscreen experience with the cars and your computer. So it seems this is because of the AMD Ryzen processor drawing more power, which I do find a little bit surprising that Tesla would be okay with that range hit. And I think it makes the implications of that processor a little bit more interesting. It would be a little bit surprising for Tesla to give up that range if they didn't have bigger needs than what they have today from that processor. Like, yeah, loading Netflix is maybe a little bit slow with MCU2, but it's adequate. And it would be surprising for Tesla to sacrifice range to make Netflix a little bit quicker. So to me, it seems like maybe they have more plans with that. Maybe it's a case of FSD visualization. They need a little bit better processing power there. Not sure. But it looks like we do have that confirmation for why that did happen. All right, then the last thing here, and then I will take a look. I saw some super chats come in, so I'll take a look at any questions we've got there. But the last thing is that the industry and commerce minister of the Indian state of Telangana, probably butchered that. I don't have the hindsight benefit of editing here, but advocating for Tesla to set up shop in India. Obviously, Tesla's working on that, but just more advocacy from the Indian government trying to make something work with Tesla after Elon had tweeted that, they're still working through a lot of challenges. I don't know how much control state governments there have versus the entire country, so I'm not sure if this can really help all that much, but just wanted to point out that. And I know we've got a lot of listeners over in India that if I miss anything India related, they don't like that, so wanted to make sure to get that in there. All right, and then I will take a look here at any chats that I may have missed here. Well, I haven't seen any of the chats, so. And thanks for bearing through the live stream today, guys. I know this was long and it's not as efficient, so I do my best with them, and I know my fan came on, so I do apologize for that. Thank you, Winston. That I really appreciate that. Appreciate all of you that have left likes as well. I'm looking at the ratio and doing some math, and it's not as good as it normally is, but that's okay. I won't take it personally. Thanks for the super stickers. Thank you, Thomas. The last FSD video that I did didn't seem to get quite as much attention on the channel, so I'm just trying to figure out exactly what I want to do with that. I might just split that into a separate channel. That's just for like algorithm purposes. Thank you, Pat. Any video that I put out that isn't good just makes the likelihood of YouTube showing those people the next video lower. So it kind of hurts future videos. So I kind of have to be a little bit strategic on that. Thank you, Thomas. So I might just split those into a separate channel or something. Not sure, but it looks like that's it for super chats. So, oh, there's I think one other one. So yeah, I think we're Yeah, this is already quite long, so I'm gonna go ahead and wrap it up here. We'll be back tomorrow with a normal edited episode, a little bit of relief from my rambling here. But yeah, I appreciate you guys tuning in. As always, thanks for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, January 18th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.